Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is November 16th, 2022, 7:04 on the clock. The ever host, James J. Maloff here, and I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Oh, I got you on the third mic. That's right.
I moved today.
Yes. Terry is here not only because she's a great co-host and a great friend and everything, but we, of course, have a very special thing happening today. It is the Radiothon, WFHR's Radiothon, featuring the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Today is the day, Terry.
Today is our big day.
It's that time of year again. We get together and we try to raise some money for the United Way, really for our communities, and people to invest in our communities. It's a wonderful opportunity, Terry. We've got a bunch of different guests coming in throughout the day. You've got that all scheduled for us. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. Do want to let the audience know, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We are still going to grab a turkey qualifier, thanks to our friends at Quality Foods. All that stuff coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get that in around 8:30, somewhere in between there. Looking forward to it. Otherwise, you know how this works, everybody. We've been doing this for a while. Terry, actually, I was just talking with Terry about this in our pregame. We've been doing this, for me at least, since about 2016, somewhere around there.
Yeah, and I want to say that this is like the 18th Radiothon. It was started by Bruce Trimble, you know, in partnership with the radio station. I believe maybe Miles Knutson was still here as the general manager.
It
could have been those two that put this together. And, you know, and then, of course, over the years with Carl and Terry and Chris and Bob and, you know, just as we evolved through. But really the idea is to educate the public about United Way and the work that we're doing. And the way that we're going to do that this morning is by hearing from several of our partner agencies that provide programs in the community. So that's how we will, you know, really kind of get the word out. But what you can do if you're interested, and if you have not already, or you want to do something extra today, you can call Stephanie at the United Way office at 715-421-0390 to make a pledge to the Radiothon for this year. We will read your donation on the air if you wish, and if you don't, that's okay too. She will ask you all those questions and then get the information to us. But I do encourage you, you know, if you hear something that really moves you this morning, if you feel compelled that you might want to make an investment in the community through United Way, this is an excellent time to do it. And we're a little bit strategic in our timing today in that our sweepstakes deadline is Friday. So this Friday, 4 o'clock, is the last opportunity that you have to qualify for one of five $1,000 cash prizes. Those are sponsored by local businesses, so that doesn't come out of individual community investments. These businesses recognize the need for us to not only gain new donors, but to also see increases in donations. So if you want to qualify for the sweepstakes, you need to make a donation of $1 a week, which would be $52 for the year. And those prizes are sponsored by Aspirus Health, Gunderson Moundview Hospital and Clinics, Next Home Partners, Prevail Bank, and Williams Heating and Plumbing. So those companies have each said, here's $1,000 you can use for the prize. And like I said, the deadline for that is 4 o'clock Friday. So we're being very strategic about our timing. So our first guest that we have with us this morning.
I just wanted to get the phone number out.
Okay, sure.
Because if you want to make a donation, which we really encourage you to do that, make the investment, $5, $500, doesn't matter, just whatever you can do, 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. Keep in mind, if you are a business and you make a donation of $500, maximum of $1,000, WFHR will match your donation in advertising. That is for new campaigns. So whether your business has been with us many years or somebody that wants to try things out, we encourage you to join the team. It is a great way to not only get your advertising out this time of year especially, but you would get the added bonus of the PR that comes with helping your community and investing in your community.
Absolutely. Great opportunity.
421-0390. That is the phone number to call. So as you were saying, Terry.
No, that's good. So our first guest this morning is John Overland, and John is the Scout Executive, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yes, Making sure. Yes. Scout Executive for Boy Scouts, Samoset Council of Boy Scouts. And United Way helps to fund a couple of programs both of our service areas. So serving Scouts, Boy Scout program in Southwood County and in Adams County. So I'd like to allow John to tell us about scouting and what's happening in our community around Scouts.
Good morning, John.
Sure. Good morning. So at Scouts in the last 3 years, I actually started serving more girls than we have ever before. Most people don't know that Boy Scouts of America have been serving females in the youth program since 1970, but it's only been in our career exploring programs. So if people are familiar with Cub Scouts, which is grades K through 5, and then our Scouts BSA program, formerly known as a Boy Scout troop, because there is a co-ed option now. 3 years ago, we started having eligibility for girls in those programs. And part of it was because just a groundswell of families having daughters that couldn't join the program and were tagging along on different things and couldn't qualify necessarily for the Eagle Award and things of that nature, and now they can. So right now, across the area, we have about 10% of our membership that is actually female in the Cub Scout K through 5 program, and then Scouts BSA program, which is 6th grade through high school. And so there are 16 scout groups in the general Southwood County area. About half of them are Cub Packs, half of them are Scouts BSA troops, and they operate autonomously through adult leadership. Adult leadership registration is about $45 a year on an annual basis. For the youth program, it's $100 a year. There is some additional fees that go on top of that, and because the units are each autonomous, they determine what that is. You know, there may be certain programming that a certain Cub Scout pack is doing versus the one, you know, a couple miles away, so they may have a higher fee or lower fee. But it's all very economical. But what we found is that the services we provide for Samoset, on average, it's about $350 per scout more on top of what they're spending for their registration fees that we're doing to support them. So as an example, there's a fall camperee every year. And the Lions Camp, that's pretty near this area, we just had a fall camperee 3 weeks ago before the snow hit. Luckily, it was a nice fall day, and we had about 50 scouts out there. Another event that we had that wasn't in the general community, but a number of the Cub Scouts went to, was a Cub Scout Skills Day. It happened to be at Camp Fletcher at Stevens Point, and that's an event that has grown since the pandemic. You know, it really dwindled down to like maybe 50 kids attending during the pandemic. But just this last fall, we had over 250 scouts and their parents at this event. And we rotate the events around so people get an opportunity to see a different camp or a different different area. And so there was about 45 Cub Scouts from the Wisconsin Rapids, Southwood County area that went to the Camp Fletcher event in Stevens Point.
That's awesome.
That's really something. John, I'm curious. You mentioned that there was more women involved, ladies involved, girls and that. Mm-hmm. And that's been really going on since the 70s. And I remember hearing something about that before. But I'm more curious how Cub Scouts has evolved in the years, in recent years and everything, how much it's changed or how much it hasn't, how much it's been able to stay the same. I'm hoping there's not like a video game badge or anything like that. Like you guys are still doing what you do over there.
What about computer programming? Yeah, that would work, right?
Yes,
that would work.
So yes, great point. That the Cub Scout blue uniform has been around since 1932, so that hasn't changed.
Yeah, right on.
Wow.
Cub Scout started, the Boy Scout program started in 1910. Wow. I think one of the things that I've noticed, and I've been a scout myself, I'm an Eagle Scout. When I started in Cub Scouts, you started in grade 2. And so the last 20 years, we've moved the program back a little bit because of just parents are interested in getting their kids involved a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And so kindergarten or the Lion Cub program, which is part of Cub Scouts, started now in the Twin Cities as a pilot program about 10 years ago. And it's really only been across the country now for about 4 years. So that's a new grade level that we've been working with. So that's a new item. The other piece is that volunteerism has always been challenging. I'm sure Terry can tell you that too, as being a nonprofit executive director like me. And so in some cases, in Cub Scouts, there are 6 dens, a group of kids that are by grade, so kindergarten, first grade, all the way up to 5th grade. Sometimes if you don't have enough kids in that kindergarten level and first grade level, the volunteers are kind of forced to combine them together and be flexible with the programming. Each grade level has a specific curriculum book. And if you're a den leader for a kindergarten group and a first grade group, because maybe there's only four or five kids that join that time, you may have to be a little nimble while you're working on the programming.
Good way to put that. Yeah.
However, the Cub Scout program is all about do your best, and your parent is really your leader. And so the parents work with the curriculum at home, but they're also doing stuff in den meetings and pack meetings when they meet as a group. A den meeting is, again, if I use the kindergarten age program, they're meeting as kindergartners with their other their peers, as well as the parents there and the leader. Hmm. And then once a month, they get together as a Cub Scout pack, and the grades K through 5 will meet together, talk about what they did in their den meeting. Sometimes we'll do a skit and a song, which is really neat to see, because not everybody's, we want to be a performer.
Yeah.
But they quickly learn to be, or quickly learn how to work with what their skills and abilities are at a young level. And there's always a little bit of leadership that happens in Cub Scouts. The leadership development happens more in Scouts BSA when they get to sixth grade. But the adult leaders are purposely working with those older youth in the Cub Scout pack to take on more responsibility. Other than that, the curriculum has changed. I'd say probably about every 5 years. I've been doing this for 25 years professionally. They changed the curriculum in the book to make sure it's matching the times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You talked about, hopefully there isn't like a gaming type thing that you're doing. But certainly awareness of the internet, making sure that youth are safe, and kind of the stranger danger type thing. Mm-hmm. Every book, there's a requirement that they must meet with their parents to talk about youth protection. Mm-hmm. We have strict youth protection guidelines. There must be two adult leaders at every meeting, ideally more with more parents, as well as there's required training. Every volunteer goes through a criminal background check. It's pretty comprehensive, and we're always trying to do more and more with it, because just the way the society is today, it's a societal issue sometimes. Mm-hmm. So
what about families that can't afford to pay the fee? Mm.
Yes, definitely. And that's where the partnership with the United Way really comes in. We do have a specific endowment at Samoset, but that can't cover, that covers assistance to individuals, and also helps with uniforms and helps with the books, because not everybody can afford that. And so with United Way, the partnership there helps us make sure that we can make sure that it's affordable for everybody. We have never turned away a child or a parent who can't afford to be a leader, because we do charge a little bit for that, to make sure that they can be in the program. And we're very straightforward with having those forms available at sign up night. You can join scouting any time of year. The fall is the biggest time to join. And so based upon what I've seen in the area here, probably a good 25 to 30% of the families that we're serving have some sort of need, whether it be for full registration or the handbook that generally is about $10, or a uniform shirt and a neckerchief and things, brand new, that's probably about $60. So it starts adding up. And we have a recycled uniform program, but not everybody can get up to the Weston Scout
office.
That's
what I was going to say. That seems like that would make sense. You know what I mean? As that stuff would kind of pass down. Mm-hmm. I remember my brothers, my brother after me passing it down to, our younger brother, right. And that kind of thing. So, yeah. That's awesome.
Without the United Way's assistance on that, then we don't even know how many kids or parents might not be able to participate in Scouts.
That's true. It's like there's a certainly a level that the United Way is helping us make sure that we serve more.
And with that, helping not only you and the Scouts, but assisting in our communities, building these kids. Because so much of Scouts, and I wasn't a Scout, but I all my friends pretty much were. And I, if there's one thing I notice in the difference in them and I, it's they can tie knots. No, I'm kidding. they have a confidence that that is different. You can see kids that take in Scouts. You can see some of the confidence that's built in them. And any chance we can build confidence in young people and helping them become greater adults and these things feels like a win-win for us as a society.
I several years ago, I was doing a campaign presentation in a local factory here in town, and it was very moving to me, and I've shared this with James already, but it was just very interesting. So I was giving this, presentation, asking people to make donations. And I had one gentleman, kind of raise his hand, and I thought he was going to ask me a question. He said, I just want to say something. He said, my son was a Boy Scout in Boy Scouts all the way through school. He said, and his best friend was only in Boy Scouts because United Way helped to fund it. You know, and so he was just talking about the impact that that had on his family in a indirect way, but the impact that, you know, it had on his son and their, but he just said he was basically, you know, encouraging his peers to contribute. But I thought that was very impactful that he was thinking about it that way, you know, and thinking about how it impacts the people around him and his son's friends. And I don't know. I just thought that that was a really neat story that he was willing to share about impact and how, you know, how we all work together.
Oh, John, if people are listening and maybe they were in Scouts when they were young and their kids are older, they're out of school, all these kind of things, but they'd still like to be involved. Can adults volunteer? Can they help out with things?
Yeah, most definitely. There's never enough volunteers.
Right
now. I think the most common thing and easy way to get involved would be to be a merit badge counselor, and that's our older youth program, the Scouts BSA program, formerly known as Boy Scouts. And that's grade 6 through 12, where the advancement and the program at that level is really a more individualized. You work at your own pace. And so part of it is that there are over 135 different merit badges, whether they be vocational or avocational, that scouting has. And as we talked earlier, with times changing, you know, we don't do signaling merit badge anymore with you know, flags. You know, that's kind of passé.
Okay.
However, there is a robotics merit badge, and there, you know, there is a computer science merit badge, and things of that nature, because of what kids are interested in, let alone just what career fields they may be interested in going in the future. So, being a merit badge counselor, there's no fee for that. You still have to fill out an adult application, because we'll do a, you know, simple criminal background check, and also get them registered so that the scouts and the scout leaders know, hey, you know, maybe Tara's, you know, gonna teach about radio merit badge, or whatever case may be, since we're on the radio here, because there is such a badge. And then that adult mentor will work with either another scout with to make sure that there's youth protection standards, so there's a couple scouts, or at a scout group meeting, work on that merit badge. And so it's really at their own pace. The scout calls the merit badge counselor, and so the merit badge counselor determines, yep, this will work. I'm doing snow sports merit badge. Maybe it's in the middle of winter. We can go and do this, or oh, hey, I'm a snowbird. I'm going to Florida, so let's talk. You know, maybe after I get back in Florida in a month. So that's one of the most common items that happens. But also, if people want to engage with the scouting unit, they would just go on our website, www.samoset.org, and they can connect with us, and we can connect them with a local scouting unit if they want to be more involved at a unit level.
You know, that's really cool. I guess I've not really thought about that on an individualized basis. Yeah. You know, there's been times where, or I have a good friend of mine that he helps with a troop. His boys are both, you know, out of high school now, but he still is very involved. And you know, I know that there's been times where they've said, could you help us find somebody, or do you know of somebody that, you know, maybe has an interest in this that could come and talk to our group? But I guess I never kind of thought about the one-on, you know, or not necessarily the one-on-one, but just saying, you know, hey, James, you could speak to a group about radio or about, you know, that's very interesting to me that, I guess I've just never thought about it being that specialized.
It's cool too, because I again, as I mentioned, some of my friends did this and everything, and there's a love of this even after your kids are older and stuff, and a care for scouts and scouting, and the idea of being able to still contribute to it, even if your kids are in college or something like that, is kind of fun for people to know. And it's also just talking to you, John, there's the other part of this too that I'm hearing. There are many, many families that love and putting their kids in Scouts, and with the ability to put either kid in there, it's great as far as, you know, sexes and all that goes. But if somebody's on the fence and they're thinking about, you know, we're thinking about joining, we're not sure yet, what would you say to them to, I'm not saying necessarily convince them to come over, but just to encourage them to look into it?
Sure. Well, part of it is just going on our website, again, www.samoset.org. There are 16 scout groups in the immediate area, and on that page, if you hit the Join Now button, you can find a local scout group for the age appropriateness of your child. And I would just encourage folks to go try it. You know, just go take a look. Doesn't mean you have to commit right then and there. Not every scout group is ready for, or not, so I'm sorry, not ready, but is the right fit for each family, especially at the older youth level. You know, some of those groups do different things that are maybe more strenuous, high adventure trips that not every child is ready for, like going to the Boundary Waters or taking a trek in the Rocky Mountains and things like that. A lot of people love that. Some are not ready for that. So you can ease into it. The other piece is that if you're potentially in a rural area and there's not a scouting unit that's within a reasonable distance, we do have a Lone Scout program where a lot of times it's the parent or maybe another adult mentor who will be that adult advisor for the scout. And they follow along in the book, whether it be the Cub Scout book or the Scouts PSA handbook, and do things on their own. But there's opportunities to go to bigger events like that fall campery I was talking about, or if you're a Cub Scout, like the Cub Scout Skills Days we mentioned.
So, that's really cool. Yeah. So if you have an interest in scouting, there's really no, right? Like it sounds like there's every option available to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
High adventure all the way down to, you know, kind of, sounds like even if you're just a little bit more independent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John, if we want people to contact you and look at if there have other follow-up questions or anything like that, you mentioned the website. That is samoset.org, SAMOSET.org. Is there a phone number they can call you or anything?
Yeah. The general line at the Scout office is 715-355-1450. And we'd be glad to help anybody, whether it be volunteer role or if you're just interested in learning more about the programs I've talked about for youth.
Really appreciate you making the time. John came in from out of town here, so really appreciate you making the trip, John. Thanks so much. It was really good to meet you.
Yeah, same here. Appreciate it.
If you... Oh, he shut me off. Bam, there
I
go.
I've been wanting to do that for years. Years.
You know, if he does it every week. But, you know, if you're out there, you know, thinking that, you know, a donation to United Way is makes sense. You heard something that you really liked about Boy Scouts and the impact United Way has on Boy Scouts. Please give us a call at 715-421-0390.
And we're just getting started, everybody. That's our first guest, John. We're going to take a quick break, go to Melissa's News. We'll come back, bring in some more people, keep on having fun here at the WFHR Radiothon featuring the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR, special day around here. It is the WFHR Radiothon featuring the United Way. I'm Terry Johns here. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
And you brought a friend with.
I did. Another one.
Yes.
See, that's two.
Yes.
So right before we introduce, I just also want to remind folks to make your pledges by calling 715-421-0390. These could be individual donations as well as business donations that would receive in-kind advertising. So encourage you to do that as you're listening to the next story of partner programs while we're here. So it is my pleasure now to introduce to you Dale Davis from Focus, which is Feeding Our Community with Unified Services. And United Way helps to fund three programs at Focus, the Family Backpacks Program, the SWEPS Food Pantry, and the Neighborhood Table Community Meal Site. So, Dale, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you, Dale. Thanks for being here.
And so we'd like, I guess what I'd like to start with is having you share maybe a little bit about each of the three programs, give people an idea of what programs and what services are offered by Focus, and then we'll talk a little bit about United Way impact on those programs.
Yeah, Focus is feeding our communities with United Services, and we merged about 2.5 years ago from the SWEPS Food Pantry, which is now the Focus Food Pantry, the Neighborhood Table, which is now the Focus Neighborhood Meal, and the Rapids Family Backpack, which is now Focus Family Backpacks. And so now we are Focus, and we're all moving into one location. Actually, the meal team is moving in as we speak. They're almost at the end of their move. This week is their last time over at UMC, and then after Thanksgiving, we'll all be in one location on West Grand, a brand new location.
Awesome.
And I know people wonder how things are going in the community. Well, there's a tremendous need out there. Whether it's our meal program, doing about 150 meals a week, or our backpacks, doing about 100 backpacks we send home with our families every week, or the food pantry where we serve over 1,500 people every month. You know, the need is so great. And so having a stable commitment from people like United Way, where we know that every quarter we're going to get a certain amount of money because you guys have chosen to support the community through United Way. We are one of the programs that are impacted that helps actually keep our shelves full of food.
Yeah, yeah. We know, you know, whether it's just any day, any kind of events going on, the United Weekend event happening, or just people in general just wanted to donate food. We have always had a good community when it comes to that, and appreciative. I don't know if our community, though, in the conversation we had yesterday with Ben and about the Alice report, Terry, we have a little more data now backing up what you're saying, Dale, what many of us have seen in the community. We've got a community that's hurting in many ways. Yet at the same time, we have a community that continues to give. Like, it's you don't see that very often. I've lived in a lot of towns, and I have not seen that kind of thing before. It's a credit to the community. Also, it shows a need in the community, as you touch on there, Dale. When it comes to that part of it, do you run into people from time to time that don't realize that they're in need? It feels like something that can happen from time to time with certain families, especially here in the Midwest, where we don't ask for help. We just don't do that kind of thing very often. So are you noticing that kind of thing, too, or new families, should we say?
Oh, we see a lot of new families every month coming into our programs. The biggest thing is when they get laid off, when things, you know, and they call 211 and say, you know, what resources are available, and then they get referred to us. And then we have that opportunity to serve them. And so... Yeah, that if you don't have that need, you're not aware of the resources out there. You're not aware that we have a food pantry. We had many people come in and say, you know, I've lived in this community for 60-some years. I never even knew we had a pantry.
Right.
I didn't know we had a meal program. And then we tell them, you know, of course, what we have available for them and the other resources available. And so we have that that connection. And it's neat because, you know, people go through, and the first thing they think of, you know, is there a food pantry? And and what I think is great is a lot of people go through and, like, well, they call 211 and get that information. Mm-hmm. And then we get the referral. And then we also talk about the meal programs that's available. And then through the schools, the backpack programs. So yeah, the word gets out there by word of mouth. And we are always looking for ways to get the word out there, let people know the resources are here. Not only to take advantage of those resources, to help them through their dark times, but also have a chance to give back to the community by doing those donations.
So let's I don't know, maybe break down a barrier. Like, if someone presents, like, let's say I come to the food pantry, I've never been there before, and I need food. Can you tell us what is that process like? So somebody who's listening might know that it's really not scary.
Right.
But, you know, what happens when someone shows up for the first time?
Oh, yeah. We don't require a pint of blood or anything like that. Here you go. Except when you're signing the paperwork. No, we don't do that.
It's not until the second time.
Yeah, then we go and bring a chair. No, when people come in, all we require is, because we do our own screening, all we require is that they come in with a photo ID so we can identify the fact that they are who they say they are, and then something that shows their address, that they do live here in Southwood County, so we can serve them. And then there are some financial requirements, but we ask that on an individual basis. It's just, you know, we ask them to confirm that they're below this income level, and then they verbally confirm that, and then we take care of them.
So you just have kind of a little, like, a form you fill out or something? I mean, does someone, interview? You know, how does that?
Well, right now we're still doing drive-through, and we'll probably be doing that through the end of the year and transition to in-house at the beginning of the year, once we get past all the holidays and everything going on there.
Nice.
So right now it's all verbal.
Okay. So if I'm a family of four, you know, so let's say there's two adults and two kids, what do I leave with that day?
A food. We give food. Yeah, we're a food pantry.
So, like, one box of mac and cheese? Or?
Well, for you, maybe two.
It's good to see you, Dale. It's good to see you.
So, we try to provide 21 meals, 7 days worth of food.
Okay.
And we do that once every 30 days. And again, what we're able to provide depends on what's been donated. So sometimes we have a lot of extra produce and bakery that the community has given. Out of the 659,000 pounds of food we gave out last year, 381,000 pounds came from our community.
Wow.
Either through programs like Walmart and Aldi's and Pick and Save and the IGAs and all four cook trips, you know, giving of what they have, or people just walking through the front door with bags of groceries, or walking in with a $20 bill and saying, you know, get whatever you can, because we can have, of course, they have a bigger purchase power. The community really steps up and provides us. So whatever we have available, we provide them. Most of the time, a family of four would have anywhere from like 120, 130 pounds of food when they leave.
You know, Terry, if I can piggyback on your question that you asked before, because I think it was a really good question and a good thing to do. One of the things that holds people back is shame, is fear, those kind of things. Talking about what it's like, the process, I think, really goes a long way with that. But the other thing that does, Dale, that I notice, and I noticed this in you and other people that volunteer or work over with Focus, it's the respect that you give. More times than not, I think anybody can relate to this, even if you haven't been it, but somebody who grew up as in a family that needed help, and we were doing those kind of things in whatever town we were in. It used to be kind of a thing where people looked down on you or you felt shame. And it's something that my mother and father, I saw them struggle with from that. And that kind of affected us as kids. When we started seeing more and more families like being treated with respect and hey, you know, you're no different than I am. We're making eye contact, all these things. It doesn't seem like a big deal maybe to somebody from the outside, but to the families and the parents and especially those kids that are taking all this in, it means as much as the food does. It genuinely does, just to be able to hang on to some respect, some dignity. Anybody can relate to that. Anybody can know what it's like to not have enough money in your pocket or for, you know, not being able to help your family. It's one of the most instinctual things we have in us as human beings. And when you take that away, it ticks away. It chips away at a person's confidence, at their self-worth. We talk a lot about mental health nowadays, but this is one subject where we don't really focus on that very often, no pun intended. With you guys over there, you're able to do both. You're able to give people a hand and not have it be, it's not a handout, it's a hand up. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they keep that as much self-worth as they can, that you treat them with respect. And again, this may not seem like a big deal to many people out there or anything. I can promise you, I can guarantee you how much that means to families. It not only... If you want to know how that can help affect you, especially if you're not a person that is in under this umbrella, that person, they feel that much more confident getting on their feet. When they do get on their feet, they are contributing to our area, our community. They're paying taxes. They're doing all these things. It adds up. It all is connected. So it may not, again, seem like much. Here's 21 meals. Here's that. Good luck. But it's the confidence in so much of that you guys give along with the food.
Yeah, we make sure that everybody who comes through our doors is treated with kindness and respect. That's a real big thing for us. We actually said in our old place, we had a big thing painted on the inside of our building there. Because, yeah, when people come in, I mean, you have our elderly. You know, in the past, when someone needed something, they were the first one to grab their wallet and hand you a 20. They didn't even think about it. Uh-huh. And now they're the ones in need. Yeah. Or you have a family who are solid and they're doing good. All of a sudden, they lose a job and they just don't know where to turn. And so when you can treat them with kindness and respect, it's just one less worry on them. And they know that they can feed their families. Yeah. They can go home, they'll have food on the table. And that they can do it in a way where they don't feel ashamed to do so. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people when they come in. It's fun. We enjoy when they come in and we talk to them. They tell us all kinds of things, some things we don't want to know. But I know.
So to make a donation to the Radiothon this morning, you can give us a call at 715-421-0390. And when we come back from break, I'm going to ask Dale to tell us about volunteers and how focused is using volunteers to make their program even better.
We'll be back with more United Way Radiothon here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR with our WFHR Radiothon featuring United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Your host, James, here. It's a family affair. Got Terry with us, and we're talking with Dale Davis at Focus. And we're looking forward to talking more with Dale. And just want to remind everybody, if you'd like to donate, please give him a call at 715-421-0390. That's 421-0390. Invest in your community. Help the United Way in their campaign season.
Yeah, so... Dale, I'd like to jump right back in and maybe have you talk about how volunteers impact Focus and you know what you have people doing, but what does that impact really mean to the organization?
Yeah, for all of Focus, I'm the only full-time person, and we have three part-time people who, as far as employees, but everything else is done through volunteers. Last year, over 35,000 hours of volunteerism actually made Focus happen. 16,891 hours just at the pantry alone. So it's amazing to see how the community will come together and do that. We have a lot of different opportunities. They can come through and then call us at 715-422-2050 and find out how to get plugged in. We have a chance where they can volunteer in the morning, like from 8 to 9:30, helping us process all the stuff that comes into food pantry. In the afternoons, we serve our clients. We need shoppers to do so. We have people who work with the neighborhood meal program, with the meal sponsorship, the preparing the meals, the serving the meals. When the sponsorships come in, how they can actually be part of that as well. And then, of course, even with our backpacks, packing up the backpacks every week to make sure they go out to the 100 families that need those. So,
so it sounds like there's a wide variety of times and days that, you know, kind of something for everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And while I like to encourage anybody who can volunteer, no matter what age you are, young, old, that's always the case. It's also noteworthy how Focus has done, and this is something that, you know, was being built throughout the years and everything, the every age thing. I think that's unique, where we tend to think of, when we think of hunger, we think of families, which makes us think of adults. We don't always think about the kids in the mix of this and everything. I appreciate how Focus has kind of attacked us at every situation, young, you know, families, seniors with the neighborhood table, like a lot of these things. It's very unique, Dale. That also seems difficult to continue to do. How does that work for you guys? How do you, like, I don't want to say this food goes here, this food goes here, etc. But how do you separate those things?
Well, when people come in to volunteer, and actually there's different ways to volunteer. We go through a tremendous amount of like plastic and paper bags. Mm-hmm. And so we have one gal, paraplegic. She can't do much, but she'll go through and people bring her bags and stuff. And she will flatten them out, stack them out, put them in bags, get them all neatly put together. And then her brother brings them in for us. So there's people we never even stepped inside our building who actually volunteer as well and doing things like that. But when they come in, a lot of times if it's somebody new, we go through and we do the introductions. And then we will pair them up with a veteran, someone who's been there a while, and they can kind of walk them through and pair them in. And we have amazing volunteers. Well, this whole community is amazing. But you come in and they're going to welcome you in just like your family, like you've always been there. And they make you part of what's going on. So no matter what program you work with, whether it's the backpacks or the meal program or the pantry, our veteran volunteers bring you in just like family and welcome in and get you help you get trained up.
So tell us about your United Way grants. It doesn't have to be like specific dollar amount, but impact. You know, what do those three grants mean to the organization?
Well, we are basically food orientated, whether it's a backpack that goes home on the weekends for our kids in the schools, or whether it's the meal program that's served on Thursday nights, or the food pantry, which is open 5 days a week. Every one of those programs has food that we deal with that we give out. Sometimes what's donated through the community and what we are able to receive through Feeding America and other programs like that doesn't always meet all the needs. And so the finances that we get from United Way in all three programs goes to helping purchase those items necessary to keep the programs going. So keep the shelves full, keep our inventory up so that we can continue serving the meals and filling the backpacks and putting bags of food in people's cars.
Well, I know this is a conversation we've had in the past, but I'm wondering about if the pantry has the ability to provide some specific ethnic foods. You know, I know it's something we had talked about, you know, that it's like when we have it, we have it. But I'm just, and maybe it's the same, but I'm just curious about that.
Yep. Yeah, we do. Some people do give us some that are more ethnically specific foods, and we do put those in a certain spot. And so when people come in requesting those things, we have them available. Mm. Yep.
When it comes to that, Dale, the kind of meals, your average meal that is being given to families, what does that entail? Is it got all your basic stuff in there, essentially?
Yeah, a lot of the real basics. We make sure there's things in there for both breakfast, lunch, and dinner programs, meals. They get meats, all kinds of different dairy, whether it's milk and eggs and cheese and yogurt, that kind of things. A lot of dry goods, of course, tremendous amount of dry goods. A lot of things you can make like casseroles with, or single dinners, or you can make complimentary dinners, like a smaller dinner that you have a side that goes with it and things like that. So, and again, the variety of what we give depends on what's been donated and what's available in the market.
When it comes to, I would imagine that it's a long list, but are there certain things that you don't get donated as much that are you're in need of, or things that's in general on an average, hey, we could always use more of this,
Yeah, there are some things that are sometimes harder for us to get, especially in quantity. It may be on the shelves in the store, but for us to get a quantity of a half a pallet or a pallet at a time is hard. Especially things like soups, dry pastas, jelly, cereal, those sort of things. It's just, to find them in bulk is sometimes a challenge. But the community actually steps up sometimes, too. We couldn't get cereal. It's been 17 weeks since we could buy bulk cereal. Mm. And two different churches went through to the cereal drive. Every family brought in two boxes of cereal, and we've had cereal.
Which is way easier, right? It's like you said, though, to go in and buy two boxes versus you being able to leverage a whole pallet. Or like, have you noticed when you're doing your own shopping and literally there's no pasta? Where did all the pasta go? I mean, that's a show for another day. But I agree. I think that leveraging power that we have as individuals, you know, to pick up an extra bag of groceries. Now, of course, purchasing power you have more of with, you know, being able to utilize Feeding America and that kind of and getting the larger quantity. But if the quantity is just not there, right, like, you know, for the community to step up and do that, I think is really important. Right. So, Dale, if someone's listening, why would you tell them to make a donation to United Way?
Well, the main thing is you don't realize the ripple effect of what one little donation will do. I mean, you go through and think, what does $5 or $10 out of every paycheck do? Or what is a $250 check going to have? You know, there's so many ways where so many people are impacted and so many capacities with that single donation, whether it's food that's being provided or counseling for mental health, or whether it's, you know, people who are involved in a program that they wouldn't otherwise be available for because they have scholarships to get there now. That ripple effect. I mean, when you feed them, now they can focus on something else. When you take care of their mental health, now they can focus on something else. Right. You're satisfying a basic need. That gives them the opportunity to focus on other issues in life and take all the stress of life. So we do it through food. We provide the food so they don't have to worry about what's going to be on the table that night. Other people provide other things through United Way. So the donations that come in impact people in many ways. And it starts with taking care of the basics and giving them the liberty then to focus on other issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
Yeah. Dale, you last time you were with us and everything, we had a good conversation. Always good to have you in. You said that if I was feeling brave, I should ask you something about that.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
I feel a little brave today, Dale. So I feel all a little right. brave.
Now, here we go.
I'm going to hide.
Wait, come back. Okay. Well, the last time I came in, I'm not a coffee drinker, which I know kind of puts me on the out, like not being a Green Bay Packer fan. But last time I came in...
Wait, did you say you're not a Packer fan?
Oh, no, either? I'm definitely a Packer fan. I'm just saying, life in okay, the instance.
All right.
Oh, no, please don't crucify me. No, I was at Quick Trip getting gas on the way in, and I got a free cup of coffee. I thought, what the heck? So I brought it in, and I gave it to James. Yeah. And he made a comment. He says, you know, anytime the host has a guest come in, the guest should bring coffee. And I promise you, I said, next time I come, I will bring you coffee.
Oh, boy.
Now, you're a man of words and intonation. And so I did honor that. I did bring you coffee.
You know, there is a Keurig machine, though, right back here in the office. So
no,
perfect.
It's not a cup of coffee, but you didn't specify that, though, so I didn't.
I did, that's right.
I got to honor this. James on the air made me promise I would bring him coffee the next time I came, so there you go.
That's awesome.
I probably am going to have to show him how to use the machine now.
Yeah. Dale brought me a nice Krug of coffee. That is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that, Dale. Dale, one of the other things that I wanted people to know, too, while we talk certainly about food, that is the main thing that we're hoping for people to be able to invest, to donate to the to Focus. There are other products you guys take as well. Hygiene products, I understand. You guys also take some of those?
Yes, we do. Okay. Any of the basics that you would think that you use every single day, dish soap, laundry soap, detergent.
That's a good way to put it.
Liquid hand soap type of things, shampoo. When people have these items available, their clothes are clean, their bodies are clean, they're more confident going out in the public, they're less likely to become a recluse because, you know, I don't want to go public if my clothes are dirty or I smell bad or my hair looks bad. Well, not me, but I mean, you know, other people. So, you know, having those hygiene items also gives them the confidence to still be engaged socially with people, which is important as well.
Oftentimes, people that are clients that are coming to use Focus and everything are in need of work or looking for work. That stuff also plays into that. You're not going to feel, I mean, everybody needs confidence walking into a job interview. You're going to feel less and less confident, the less your appearance is and everything. So all these things tie in together and add to, you know, people being able to get on their feet, which is what it's all about. It's not about helping you the rest of your life with this program or something. It's about being there when you need them. And then when you get on your feet, you being able to contribute and give back.
Well, and when you think about how those donations impact people as well, it's, you know, the kids when they're not hungry, they do better in school. That's been proven 1,000 of you. We've discussed this before. When you're less concerned about putting food on your table at night, you can focus more on getting that next job. You can go with more confidence because you have clean clothes and you smell decent. You know, so all those little aspects of donating, you know, the United Way and impacting all the different programs that way impacts every aspect and every person in that family.
Dale, if people want to volunteer, if they want to be able to donate, are there ways they can do that? How can we help them do it?
Yep, just get a hold of us at 715-422-2050, and we can let them know in whatever capacity they want to assist us, how they can do so.
Appreciate the time. Appreciate what you and the staff over there, the volunteers, everybody does for our community. Greatly appreciate it, Dale. You know the door is always open for you, especially if you're going to bring coffee.
There we go. No promises.
Thank you, though. Thank you for that. We're going to continue with the United Way Radiothon coming up after our break. We'll get to some CBS News, join our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, and we'll be back with more people joining us. Right, Tara?
You bet.
All right. That's all coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.